Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We are recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. Here's a humble request. Give us a follow on Instagram, at Walk and Talk Show. Please and thank you. I'm into quality smoked fish dips and spreads, and I know you are too. Check out our friends over at Crab Island Seafood Company. Visit them at crabislandseafooddip.com to order yours today. It has been a rough start to getting back into the routine of things after Hurricanes Milton and Helene. Everyone is burnt out. It's been a bad situation all around the Southeast. I'm proposing we go back to a bit of a happy place, and for me, that is food. Jeff is back in the studio as well, and with that comes Scooby Snacks. That is what we call him. He'll get into all of that. Our guest today is Chef Nick Barrington, friend of ours, friend of the show, good dude. He is the creator of the U.S. Culinary Open. That is a cooking competition. It is badass, and we're going to get into it. He's an all-around good guy. He's here. I'm looking at him. He's cool. He's all right. I want to give a big thank you to Rack Porcelain for all of the tableware goodies that we are playing with today. Tina, John, thank you. All right. Jefferson,
yeah,
my man, you're in the flesh. You're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were you?
Last week I was in New Hampshire. It was previously to going for the hurricane. I had a thing to do with Keith Saris, and we had multiple different events to do. One of them got canceled on Wednesday, but it was a well-needed one to get the heck out of Dodge, especially what we went through last 2 weeks ago Wednesday now. So it was good to get out of there and kind of refresh and look at things in a different perspective, and it was much needed, like I said. And then come back down and play with some really good food today.
Yes. So when we talked about the food and, you know, you said, how about raviolis? And I said, we just did raviolis. And you said, yeah, but no.
Yes.
You said, trust me.
Yeah.
And I, and you were like, trust me, bro. And I was like, well, okay, man, good call.
Thank you.
And it's, it doesn't feel like we just had raviolis, and it doesn't look like we just had raviolis either, you know, no. In terms of, you know, the photography and whatnot.
Yeah.
Good call.
Thank you. So I've been looking for a honey nut squash, and Dan Barber's accredited finding this in the farmers that he works with up in New York. And he kind of invented this certain vegetable. It's similar to a butternut squash, a little bit more rustic in color as far as that orange, more browns to it. Flavor profile, I roasted it with just some butter and some garlic. And then I made the semolina dough. I had some black pepper in that. But I wanted to complement it with the burnt butter sage, which is something when I used to work with one of the chefs that's famous for doing a burnt butter sage with a kombucha type pumpkin ravioli. But I wanted to add some more layers to it. So I added some candied pecans, which I know John's favorite. And then because I was in New Hampshire, you have apple cider. That's what we did every single night. Keith and I and Dan, we'd have apple cider. One of the things I wanted to bring into it was the baked apple cider donut, and I wanted to dehydrate that so it's more of a cookie, so it was a crunch. So as you're hitting the savory garlic and the burnt butter and the sage, and you were tasting that, all of a sudden the crunch came through with a little heat.
Slow it down. Slow it down.
The heat came through with the candied pecan. The pecan adds, you know, that texture of crunch, but then that cider donut, because you reduce the cider, there's only a half a cup. So I was taking a cup, reducing that down, and I had almost a gastrique. Then I added more back to it. And when the reason why I went to a gastrique is that it caramelizes those sugars naturally, so it intensified that almost that cider flavor. That's what I was really looking for to stand out.
Look, the chicken was good. All right.
Well, that was John's favorite.
I know, and that's what I was kind of getting at. That I'm like, you know what, John? Look, not for nothing, it wasn't the best.
For him, it was though.
It doesn't count. You know why? Because the raviolis are terrific. They are spectacular. And you have no right to call the chicken as being a... Anyway, tell me about the chicken dish.
So the chicken is actually from Vicky Webster from the Happy Tales farm. It was one of her chickens that she breeds up there in Brooksville. I actually went to the farm Tuesday. Met some Cooney Cooney pigs that are possibly going to be going to slaughter soon, which is real fun because I can get to break that down. But she's got chickens and goats running around the whole thing. She had some damage done to it, but she's been already started the recovery process for herself. Took that chicken. I smoked it for about 25 minutes on the small smoker. Then I put it into the oven and finished off the cooking. But what was cool that I know now why John liked it so much. I hit it with the lemon thyme marmalade. It's the Meyer lemon marmalade.
He's very sensitive to that. He picks up on it real fast.
Yeah, and I think that's why he kind of like grooved to it. But the tri-tip is from Pilot Meats. My buddy works for him. He dropped it off for me, and I was trying to test it. And
Ben, right?
Yeah, Ben Gerber. I actually marinated it with pineapple vodka that I freshly infused, but I didn't want to go too long because pineapple has that enzyme to break down meat. So what I did was I took avocado, smoked that for the first time, charred corn. I was trying to look for that elote street kind of fare to it. Added some peppers to it. And then I add pineapple vinegar to give that pineapple flavor. So instead of doing like a chimichurri or aji verde or some kind of sauce you would put on top, I wanted to do something that showcases what's in season right now in Florida prior to Milton destroying everything. So I wanted to go with corn. So that's why I went with corn. just for people to realize that a lot of our farmers, you should see, we belong to a group called Florida Fine Farmer, Florida Farm Finder. Julia Child was on there, and she does that and mans that one. She has like 70,000 members. It's heartbreaking to see what the farmers are going through locally, and it's going to affect everybody's pocket eventually. So we're there for them. We're there for you guys. Whatever you guys need, you know, just reach out to us. Whatever we can do to help out, we're definitely going to be there for you. Just to finish it up, though, as far as the food that we ate today, you had your favorite. I found celery root, and I was like, we're going to do some celery puree. Took some sofrito paper and did that as well. So had your meat, too.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, for the purees.
Well, it's fall, and then that's what I wanted to kind of, as we had a touch of fall.
That was so after these terrible storms, the weather was beautiful for the last week. It's starting to get hot again now, and People do not realize how devastating these storms were here in Florida. No, I mean, listen, it's been terrible in North Carolina. I think a little bit of Georgia got it too, a little bit of Tennessee, and it's terrible. It's also terrible here in Florida. The West Coast, all the way up and down, is banged up. Inland, I was saying it, it's still flooded in certain areas. I've never seen that before. I think that has to do with the you know, how they're releasing the water now. But the Alify River near my house crested at 25 feet.
Yeah.
5 days after the storm.
Yeah. So there's a place right down the street from me on 597 and Clay Pots, or Pits rather. It's a church. I drove by it yesterday and I heard that it was still underwater. It's still underwater.
Yeah.
Just literally 2 to 5 minutes from my house, I drove. I actually posted it. It's got almost 1,300 views on it. I drove around my neighborhood and just the tree damage alone in the wires that are still down. It's just amazing what you can see from what we went through. I mean, my house got damaged. We just had the insurance claim come out. I had some fence down, stupid things like my Mirasaki pepper tree. I was telling you guys, it's there. It's actually sprouting peppers right now, mm-hmm. 2 weeks after the storm. The other stuff that we saved, we put in the garage, and so everything was cool. We were without power for 7 days, and what I did was, most of my neighbors who didn't have power, I was actually cooking for them. They didn't have a hot meal. And that's something that, you know, we were talking earlier, Chef and I were talking, like Mercy Chef and, you know, the World Center Kitchen and all those guys that are cooking for people that don't have the electricity. That's normalcy for people when you have that. It's that sense of, I don't have to eat out of a can. My neighbors are eating out of a can. So whatever I could do to make them feel a little bit less discombobulated.
Two things on that real fast. I don't mind... Chef Boyardee raviolis, you pop it. You don't even have to heat it. You just simply eat it out of the can. And you have to keep that stuff on hand for this type of thing. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Now, so we're going through this. We're still dealing with the effects of this, and we're going to for a long time. And I do want to move into like some better spirited conversation. We've done 2 or 3 episodes now where we're in the thick of it. And it's, you know, Pooch was doing his thing. Pooch was here too. Oh, Vicky Webster, by the way, Pooch said he's going to take care of you on the cooler. I'm just saying. Okay. He said he's going to take care of you on the cooler. Don't text me. Don't call me. He's got you.
Yeah. How big was that pig that she donated?
It was a good sized pig.
Yeah. Oh, look at the high voice.
Yeah. See what I did there? Yeah, this is my broadcasting experience coming into play there. I wanted to really emphasize the fact it was a good sized pig.
I just got to give a shout out to Amy Sins. So I got a text from Vicky, I think the day after the storm, that she had no power, no water. She couldn't feed the animals. They were dumping milk. Obviously, it was like a 911, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was going through it. Now that I know where she is and where that place, the farm is, it's like out in the beaten path. And I called up Amy and said, hey, my farmer needs help. She goes, well, was she willing to stage for my guys? And she had 2 teams. One was ex-Green Beret. One was ex-SEALs. Vicky was like, sure. She ended up cooking for the guys. And literally she got power, I think, Friday and then or Saturday. She got power and then Sunday, she dropped gas containers to my house so that we can run our generator.
What's funny about the whole Amy Sins thing is that Amy Sins puts out a call to action on Facebook about the pig.
Yep.
So I screenshot the thing and I sent it to Pooch. Okay. Pooch says, oh, yeah. All right. Great. And before I know it, I asked Amy, I said, where's this pig at? She goes, oh, that's Vicky. And I was like, wait a minute. We all know each other. Like we're all in the same little network group here.
Where do you think that started from?
I know.
So I got the call first. Do you want to cook? I'm like, I'm not there.
But it's funny because I just happened to see the post and I did the screenshot and sent it off. Anyway, it was a funny story.
Yeah, and that's what we've done is that we started a community that can help other communities. And you know, I am terribly sorry for what's happened in Tennessee and also in what happened in Canton, Black Rock and Nashville and stuff like that, Black Mountain. You know, I have a buddy of mine that was in 3 weeks ago and he got off the plane because he had to work here in Tampa. And the first thing he got a phone call right when he got off his plane was his son was like, "Dad, why didn't you come for me?" He's like, "I didn't even know if you were alive." It was the first time he heard from his son. It was a week.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
We're going to get stories like this now. It's going to be,
oh yeah,
there isn't going to be any shortage of stories.
There's going to be miracle stories too. So, you know,
I would like to hear some of the miracle stories because right now we're still going through some, you know, it's all the train wreck of it. And
listen, I had a friend that went through Anna Marie Island. She had a house there. Ian destroyed it. She built it back. Helene bulldozed it. Obviously we know that. And then Milton came and she moved down to Fort Myers. And I was texting her that morning. It's Cindy Ord, the one I actually was telling you about that shoots for Getty. And I said, go get your butt and go to Miami now, because it's not going to look good. They were expecting 15 feet of surge over there in Fort Myers. And she was in a manufactured home with her father.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she got through it. Nicole Cruz was woken up to that huge F3 going through her.
F3. I don't want to get in. All right. Enough. All right. Look at this.
I see that.
Look at this bling. Willie. Look at this. I don't know. Should I make it? Do I have to like meet?
No, just like that. No.
Like that.
You showcase not your face. The ring is much better.
That's a 35 mil. I'm in this.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, I know what's up. So, I'm a winner because I got the championship. I got one of the championship rings from the U.S. Culinary Open. You know what? All right.
You also got the trophy.
My man. Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm wearing the ring. You know what I mean? I'm wearing the ring. And I don't know if I'm giving it back. I'm giving it back.
Yeah, Nick will take your finger with it.
He's like, "Hey, listen, Carl, you can't have the ring, okay?" All right, let's welcome Chef Nick Barrington to the program. How are you doing, my man?
I am doing just fantastic. Chewing down on some of Jeffrey's little snacks, as you call them, Scooby snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were absolutely fantastic today. And I'm voting for the ravioli. Right. I'm going for the ravioli.
Because you know what you're talking about. Yeah. You started a food competition, culinary, I should say.
There you go.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm going to go. So I just want to be clear, everybody. The man who started this thing is here. He chose the ravioli. I also chose the ravioli. I feel like I know what I'm talking about.
I'm backing up the credit for it. So.
I love John's face.
John's sipping his tea.
Willie, did you get that face that he just made? Because that said it all.
John is sipping his tea. Look at that.
Well, they always tell you everything tastes like chicken. No. So.
Yeah. All right. So the trophy's beautiful. We have a lot of beauty shots of it.
Absolutely.
Right. And the ring is just badass too.
Blinged out.
It is blinged out.
The backstory on how he got that is just the
best. We're going to get into all that. I'm building some.
I know you are.
Okay. I wish I can cook because I want one of these, you know?
You just can't cook. You have to like be able to reimagine, reinvent.
So as usual.
Throw down.
You cut me off.
I think you're welcome.
You know, it was in the middle of it, as usual, per usual.
Per usual.
Yeah, it's per usual. But yeah, I mean, if I had the culinary chops and all the other skill it takes to be in the kitchen, I would want to be going for one of these. I would go for this. We got to get some walk and talk ones.
Oh, there you go.
I think he knows.
We got to hook you up.
Yeah, let's talk about how how this all started. So first of all, you're a passionate guy. We met, I don't know, 2 years ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah, I'd say about 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was almost 2 years. NAFM,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, NAFM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, this was something that you've been kind of putting together for a while. How did you start with the idea of, hey, you know what, I think I want to go full in on a culinary competition?
It's a really good question. I went ahead and my career has been something else. 32 years in the industry and only 2 jobs. So yeah, so it's been a good ride. So I wanted to find a way of kind of giving back. I mentor a lot of chefs around the country, and I did culinary competitions for about 14 years all over, you know, North, South, Central America, and just wanted to go ahead and find something that I could do to give back to the industry in more of a large format instead of just mentoring, a couple dozen chefs, and came up with the concept of doing a culinary competition, but in a way that they do it in Europe, not in the U.S. So, all right, and that's an interesting concept in itself.
Right. So there are culinary competitions here that we're aware of, like the World Food Championship.
Yeah.
And then there's the, you know, creme de la creme, like the Bocuse d'Or. Mm-hmm. How does the U.S. Culinary Open sit between those sort of, you know, because obviously there's a range of competition.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So how does that, where do you fit?
On the top. that is our goal, to be the most prestigious culinary competition in the United States. So we wanted to create something where it was, I kind of say, you know, take the kit gloves off, take the, you know, to remove all the strings and just, you know, let them do what they do as chefs. We're not judging them on knife cuts or technicalities on things. If you're throwing down food and everything at your restaurant, you're getting recognized with James Beard, Michelin stars, everything, then that's what we want to do. You know, and that's what we're trying to accomplish.
And that's the thing. You have 12 competitors.
Yes.
Out of those 12 competitors, you're talking about, I know that there's a handful of Michelin chefs in there.
Yeah. James Beard.
There's Beard chefs in there. Yeah. There are, Food Network winners that are, you know, that are part of this competition as well. So it's a good mix.
Yeah, we had 51 applicants for the 12 slots. So it was a really variety. And we had a culinary advisory council go ahead and select those. So we wanted a very good mix. The only caveat is I was hoping to get to introduce and make sure we had a good mix of female chefs in the mix. And we do have 5 out of 12 that are female chefs. Phenomenal, very experienced culinary professionals that are going to throw down some incredible food.
How does it work with categories?
So what we did is we wanted to make something modern. So a lot of the competitions where it's very strict, where it's a specific plate, it's a specific type of food, and we wanted to change that. So it's they require to use salmon for the appetizer course, but they can do whatever they want with it. Served hot, served cold. Bring your representation of your food. What do you do? Where are you from? We have a chef coming from Chile that's competing. So he's bringing his culture from Chile to go ahead and showcase what he could do with salmon. And then the second course is an entree course, which is vegan or vegetarian, their choice. And those ingredients are going to be selected. And then we have the third course, which is an entree course, and that one's being sponsored by Certified Angus Beef. So that will include a specific beef cut.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Okay. So because of your 14 years of doing competitions, that's where this whole thing, the genesis of this whole thing kind of comes from it.
Yeah, we wanted to go ahead and celebrate chefs. Those chefs, they're doing 60, 70 hours a week, just really cooking, throwing down, putting their love and passion into what they do. We wanted to celebrate those chefs. That's why we created the name of U.S. Culinary Open. It's open to whoever wants to go ahead and put their food forward and, you know, feels, you know, good enough to be judged by other chefs.
Now, your wife is also a chef, and she's also Polly. She's also part of this whole thing.
Yeah, she's the vice president of the U.S. Culinary Open. She is the executive director for the Atlanta Chefs Association. So, and she's been in the industry for 30 some years. So yeah, she's got some chops.
She's actually the boss.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to, kudos to,
She's worked in so many different places and so many different roles in management executive that she can do, she multitasks and she's everything. Amazing.
Nick just crumbled when you said that.
No, he didn't. He, trust me, he knew.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. I would not be where we're at or the U.S. Culinary Open would not exist without her. Trust me.
Yeah. She's just a different person. She supports him and elevates him in everything that he's ever done. And you can see it.
Yeah. What does she cook? What's her main?
You would never tell by looking at her, but she's 100% Mexican here, so she can throw down some Mexican food really well.
Is that her favorite to cook?
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, she loves the moles and really getting into the rustic traditional, making homemade tortillas and those dishes. So yeah, it's just I love walking home and coming home and opening the door and smelling that. Yeah,
I like to say tortilla. You have to say it with like it's a commercial on TV. So what about you? What's your favorite style of cooking?
Favorite food. What I'll tell you is probably going to go ahead and see kind of weird. Jeffrey will nod his head to this one. I mean, breakfast. It's straight up breakfast and eggs. I'll tell you straight up. I love cooking it. I love elevating it. I love doing stuff that nobody would think of. In my career, I started off doing the fine dining as everybody chef wants to do the fancy food, the foie gras, the lovely truffles and stuff. And then I got shoved into it, but my mentor told me I needed to be more well-rounded. So I needed to go work mornings. I'm like, oh God, breakfast and lunch. What is that? So I dove in head first and made sure that I tried to elevate breakfast and lunch. And it was a challenge, but it worked out really well. And I absolutely love breakfast. I can throw down some of the best food you can possibly imagine, fine dining with breakfast food.
See, I'm about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking right to me because I dig breakfast food.
Oh yeah.
All the time.
Comfort food, man. It's just, you get up, I can eat breakfast for dinner. I'm telling you.
So what's an elevated dish for breakfast that you do?
We go ahead and do, at the club, we do a non-traditional version of cinnamon and French toast. So cinnamon raisin French toast, but we use brie. And just fold it in with the dough. So as we go ahead and cook that and everything, you get this real creaminess from it. And then we do go ahead and use, depending on what berries are in season. So we'll do like a pecan, maple, brittle, maple syrup with the berries. Yeah. And it's just decking it. Just all get up. And it's something they don't expect. You put this on a plate and you bring it out. And then people are just like, oh my God, I thought we were just having, French toast with some orange juice or something or coffee. and the room goes silent.
Well, there's one that I used to do. We used to do creme brulee French toast using brioche. Oh, and you would actually make creme brulee, but you wouldn't thicken it to that reduction of making brulee.
Yeah.
And then we'd actually brulee the actual crust after it was seared.
It
was
ridiculous.
I mean,
I guess next week we're going to be doing breakfast.
Yeah. Can we do
bring it? On. It's a breakfast edition.
Well, I mean, we'll do it as a, as an ode to,
to Nick. To Nick.
Yeah. There you go.
Can we come together on a recipe? Like,
yeah, we can.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. We'll collaborate.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Was pretty, that's pretty like I'm salivating.
Yeah, when you were talking about the cinnamon French toast, I was like, ooh, bimini bread with the honey in the middle of it. That would be just really cool, too. So,
yeah, it's the walk and talk, breakfast edition. So
yeah, it's the breakfast club or something like that. Yeah, breakfast club.
The honeycomb, but the honeycomb is a crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Man, now we're talking. So this is what I've been missing. This is the conversation and the vibe that I've been just really after for the last few weeks, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been what we had the 1 week where Milton actually hit and then last week. So yeah,
we got to come up for air. Yeah. Just got to come up for air.
Come up for a bite.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's what he did. I want to point out when he said about his competition and the differences, it's not the technical, it's not the usual or what we do in the United States. That's key because what this is doing is testing what a chef that's working the line is doing.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah.
It is. Not behind a desk, not behind paper and writing menus.
And we're not putting a challenge to them, everything. I tell them that as you said, there's the Bocuse. That's a very limited group of individuals that compete for that and try out. I was at that tryout earlier this year coaching, and You only have a very short, you know, three or four people are trying out for that. This is, we wanted to go ahead and give an opportunity for chefs. We're not trying to throw them a curveball. It's not like everything. Hey, you get a, you know, a butane lighter and everything and a plastic pair of utensils to cook with. And here's your challenge. You know, that's Food Network type stuff. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to really allow them to do what they do at the restaurants and what they're known for, what they get recognized for, what guests and clients and people are coming back to the restaurants again and again. And what restaurant groups hire them to do, because they are a fantastic, amazing chef. We want them to go ahead and do that.
See, this is where I appreciate what you're doing, because, you know, I'm a foodie, right? I'm in the business, but yeah. I'm a foodie. And you can look at the World Food Championship and you go, OK, I can go and try to get and do something yeah. there. Right. Which is cool. Like, yeah. I think it's great that
there's a niche there.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Like, you can get somebody who's very elevated in their career culinarian, but then you get somebody like me. I could try out, I can get in there, you mm-hmm. know, potentially. Then you're coming to the table with, okay, you really do need to have, you know,
Some chops.
Yeah, you have to have the experience. You need to be from this industry, yeah. and not just from the industry, but you kind of need to know where you have to have been there.
Yeah, we want to make sure that the elevated chefs that are coming. I mean, we're not there to go ahead and, you know, make anybody look bad. We're going to give the opportunity to those that have the skill set that really can go ahead and showcase what they're doing. That's, and really throw together.
That's your advisory board is actually yes. helping that along too. And that's different too, because it's not like, oh, he's my friend, so I'm just going to invite him in, mm-hmm. or she's my friend. It's, they have to apply, the advisory board then says yay or nay. And then who's the judges? You have
some yeah, pretty- we went ahead and I proposed this to AMCO, the American Master Chef's Order, about 2 years ago. And they came back and they were so excited about the idea and the concept of it being modern. And you know, and progressive, that they wanted to go ahead and actually endorse it. So the American Master Chef's Orders is endorsing it, and then we actually have 3 out of our 4 judges are certified master chefs that are coming in to go ahead and judge the event. And I think we've confirmed about 18 to 20 certified master chefs that are coming to the event.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's huge.
What is also a big deal is NAFM.
Yeah.
That they picked it up.
Yeah, we searched for about 2.5-3 years to try to find a partner. Turned down a lot of large names and brands out there because, again, they wanted to monetize the event. This event is a nonprofit. U.S. Culinary Open is a nonprofit, so we wanted to find something that understood that format and wanted to go ahead and celebrate the chefs in the way we do. Somebody told me about NAFM. We went down and visited them. I think that's where we met yep. and at NAFM. And they were just absolutely amazing in what they do. They support the New Orleans Culinary Institute, CIA, Johnson & Wales, the students format. They are also a nonprofit. So we sat down and talked, and I loved what they said when we met with them. They said, "You're what we've been looking for." And that was a perfect thing to hear. You know, hey, you know, that's fantastic. We've been looking for you too. So
it's a major compliment.
Yeah.
Because this is not like a rinky-dink show.
No, it's 50 to 60,000 people. It takes off. There's only 3 places in the country that can hold that facility, that event. So it's huge. So it's taking out the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta. They're back in Orlando in 2027 mm-hmm. just because of the size of the event. So it's quite a large to do. So when they said yes, I mean, we negotiated for about a couple months and just made sure we kind of dotted all of our I's, crossed all of our T's, and They are tremendous supporters of ours. We're actually going to be posting out a special code for culinarians to get tickets to the event for free, potentially.
Oh, that's nice.
So they're going to have a discount code to be able to go ahead and bring in chefs to go ahead and watch the event. We also have commis, so the competitors get to bring a commis with them. So they have an assistant.
Yeah, you have to translate for him.
Yeah, so exactly. Comey, transition, assistant, or like sous chef, but they have to be between the ages of 18 to 25. We want the next generation coming up behind them and getting an opportunity. So this way they're not bringing their, you know, their sous chef that's been in the industry 30 years with them, you know, and trying to ace this event.
A lifer.
Yeah, so we wanted to kind of give them an opportunity. So it's a really cool format, and everybody's been really excited about the format of, again, this is a celebration. I tell people this is a culinary competition, but at the exact same time, it's a celebration of the industry. We're celebrating great manufacturers that give us great products to cook with, great manufacturers and suppliers of food. So it's a celebration of the industry. Yes, it is a culinary competition, but it's really a celebration of our industry as culinary, food service, hospitality.
So that leads into something that's huge for us and our relationship, is that Walk and Talk Podcast is the official podcast of the U.S. Culinary Open, and obviously thank you very much for that, for bestowing us with that.
My pleasure. Title. You guys are awesome. You kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding at all. I think this is a tremendous opportunity for us, and I feel like it's a win-win for everybody. Obviously we have a, you know, pretty good you know, penetration out into the market in terms of audience and exposure. But I tell you what, it's a super cool thing. And as I'm just staring at this beautiful, like you're doing everything right.
I don't even want to touch that. It's so polished.
Yeah, we wanted to kind of take our time with everything and really make sure, like you said, we're doing everything right. We took our time. We've been working on this since 2020. So, I mean, we could have pulled the trigger a long time ago and went with other places and done things. But like any chef knows, or any Jeffrey, everything, you put food in the window one time, you only have one opportunity for that first impression. So, you know, we're not making it do it any other way than the right way. It's going to be executed properly, 100%, and just draw the best people possible, best partners as Walk and Talk, you know, podcast. And just, again, you guys celebrate the industry the same way. So that's why we're trying to pull in those individuals, those companies, the people that we have as partners that celebrate chefs.
So we're going to be, folks, we will be at the show. We'll have a 20-foot booth inside the competition area.
Yep.
We'll be focusing on, you know, obviously we're going to be talking with all the competitors. We're going to, you know, it's going to be pretty wonderful. I'm looking at this thing, right? And what I see it should be filled with bourbon. And I should just, you know what I mean? Like an 80s movie, you know, and it should be with the booze and having and drinking out of the
thing. As chefs, we'll just fill it with truffles, though.
Right.
So Jeff's sitting there nodding his head like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm okay with that. I'm with that too. You know? But yeah, so I'm very, very excited about this. And the fact is, it's like an away game. We're going to Atlanta. You know, the NAFM, they go back and forth. One year it's Atlanta, the next year it's Orlando, and, you know, they alternate. So, you know, we're going on a road trip, and it's going to be freaking wonderful. We're bringing our whole crew. We're doing the whole thing. And thank you.
You're going to have to go ahead and bring in, you know, you have to bring headshots and, you know, do autographs and stuff. You know, people are going to be there to go ahead and
There might be a book there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah. I need to see that book and everything at the show.
Nick, listen, I just bring a Sharpie.
That's it. That's all you do, man.
All I do is bring the Sharpie. You know,
Just before your event, there's the event for CaterSource. I'm actually going to be at CaterSource. I'm flying from Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to fly right up into Atlanta for that day. So the day the competition starts.
Oh, you're going to be in show mode.
Yeah, 100%.
Love it.
100%.
I love when Jeff is in show mode.
We all do.
Yeah. So what's going to end up, I'm going to tell the story real quick because it's been a minute. But we did a show a couple of years ago.
It was NAFM.
Was it NAFM or the other one?
No, it was NAFM you're going to talk about.
Okay.
I was Beaker?
Yeah.
It was NAFM.
This is when I thought Jeff had a drug problem. Because, you know, we go to this show and, you know, we're set up. It's a huge event and it's just, you know, it's kind of one of our first outings. It was early on in this whole thing. And I'm looking at Jeff and I'm talking to John and I'm like, He's sweating. He's talking fast. I think he's got like a, probably got an eight ball in his pocket or something. I don't know what is happening here, but he's going back and forth. He's shuffling over here, over there. And he disappears for 30 minutes at a time. He comes back with six people and he's speaking in a way where, listen, I know what it sounds like. I mean, I'm checking his pupils. I'm like, is this guy?
It's Jeff talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
But he wasn't. It was just Jeff being Jeff.
Yeah.
And and ever since then.
And that's why we love him. That's right.
It's the truth, man. Ever since then, I'm just like, I look forward to doing events when Jeff can just kind of put his running shoes on. He brings his like little New Balance shoes, man. And he just bang, he's out there.
They're on clouds and there's no New Balance. So I'll give props to on clouds. Thank God they're the shoe, man.
Yeah.
That's where we met Heston Blumenthal's R&D guy.
Yeah.
He was working for Warning.
Warning, yep.
Yeah. That was a great show because I ran into, believe it or not, Hooker, Bobby Hooker.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I got a guy for you. And he's the one that I gave me the introduction to that gentleman. I can't remember his name now, but he was the R&D specialist for Heston Blumenthal.
That's the killer thing about NAFM. The NAFM show is just brings everybody together. It's insane. I heard about it for years, never went. I tell people now and everything, it's like going to, Toyland for chefs, man. Everything you can possibly imagine from like a rubber spatula to a computerized pizza making machine.
It's almost as large as like the NRA.
Yeah, it's there almost.
It's right there, but it's pretty much there. I mean,
that's where we met Pink Suit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of having, you know, it's just minus the food aspect of it, but you have so many people there doing demos of their equipment with food. You just can't miss everything, the equipment. It is really a special show.
I do want to be clear, though. Jeff does not have a drug problem. you know what I mean? It's just the appearance was that.
Oh, it definitely was. Yeah. And I couldn't even get, I remember you called me at one point. You're like, where are you? And I'm like, booth 1000. You're like, where is that? I'm like, I think I'm in Ocala.
Let me get a golf cart. I'll be right there.
What I heard was you're in a bathroom stall. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this guy doing?
But I didn't even get to the other side of that show because it was so huge.
Well, I mean, NAFM jumped in so much with us. We have a 5,000 square foot show floor space with three kitchens in it. So the idea of what they want to accomplish and back us with and support us was just amazing. So, I mean, they do a lot for the industry already, but now to jump in with us was fantastic.
Yeah, they had, and I know this was from, I think, Polly, but NAFM reached out to us, great people.
Oh, yeah.
What do we need? You know, that whole thing to accommodate us with power. We do have to get into all that conversation at some point and kind of iron this out.
We need a booth.
We have a booth.
No, like enclosed, like when we were at that other show, John and I, we have to get those pictures from Patrick. That was stellar. Yeah,
we'll get there. But you know what though? But here's the thing. And you know, we'll geek talk for a second, but. A booth, a quiet space, you know, where you control the environment is really great. But then you're kind of removed from the event. So there's a couple of ways to look at it. I kind of like that because I like to control the environment and the sound and the lights and all that. But here's the thing. You don't get the action. You know, when we did World Food Championship, I got to tell, like, so... What did we do? 35, 40.
It was 40. Ooh. It was 45 interviews. By 25, I lost my voice.
Right.
Oh my God.
Because you're fighting for the ambient sound in the room.
Well, we were literally right off stage.
Right off stage. Well, the good thing is you guys have your own dedicated 20-foot by 20-foot like box.
Yeah.
Area that's right next to the kitchen.
I don't want to be closed in. I just want to be if there's noise. If I don't know if you guys are gonna be playing music, so that we could probably not.
Not much. We're gonna not much.
I don't think NAFM is that they. I don't think they do that.
If it's not like what we had at World,
some of the people in the booth like to play the music and everything, but we're gonna be nice to our people across from us and on the show floor and kind of allow people so they can actually because they do business there a little bit. So it'd be nice if they can hear things. But we're flying drones in there too, so it's gonna be kind of fun.
Well, this is the thing though. I like to have the sound. Of the environment, In a case like this, right. I want to hear it. Yeah, it's great.
Oh yeah.
You know, like we sometimes we'll take the show on the road. We'll go to a hotel, and they'll put us in a space where It's not exactly off the beaten path.
The W.
But it's close by.
It's in the gym.
And well, you're
no, we're right. The W I'm talking about, we were literally by the swimming pool. So it had a very large, gorgeous table. Every time somebody, you would walk by and these cameras, they would pause and were like, you know, stopped. And we're like, no, you can keep on going.
Keep going.
But it was literally, they were part of the show because it was right there by the swimming pool.
So I like
it's live action.
I like that. I want to be clear about it. I like that. But yeah, you know,
It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. Then that's what we want to do. We don't want to be the cookie cutter event or competition. I mean, I've been around and seen so many events all the way from the Bocuse, the ACF to Food Network to these things. And just, we want to go ahead and really go ahead and give an opportunity to be unique and original. And there's a lot of chefs out there that just didn't want to put their reputation in certain platforms. Everything, but they still wanted to go ahead and be celebrated and showcased. So bring it on. Let's go ahead and get those people out of the kitchens and allow them to shine a light on them a little bit.
Now that you've been on the show formally, right?
Official.
It's official. You're here. You got to spend time with us, eat a little food. I mean, these are the sort of episodes that we like them all, but we appreciate when the guest comes in studio.
Oh, absolutely.
Because now there's some camaraderie. We build that rapport, the relationship, the whole thing. It's different than just a call-in.
Oh, yeah, huge.
We love the call-ins, but this is different.
You get to break bread.
You get to break bread, exactly.
Yeah.
And here it is. You're here. The next step is having some of the competitors to come on the program.
Come on the show, yep.
And talk about who they are. Why they're doing it, what they do, that whole component.
That passion, yeah.
Yes.
No, it's huge. I mean, and I know a bunch of the chefs are dying to get on the walk and talk and chat, so it's going to be really good.
Yes. And this is, we're in a business of passion.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah, obviously there's spreadsheets and KPIs and you got to, you know, what's, you know, is it profitable or not? That's
stuff behind the curtain.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we're living in life. We need those things. But here we are. Everyone starts with, I want to make food for somebody and them love it. I want to perform, quote unquote, for my audience, right? For the guest.
Yeah.
And when we find people who care about that sort of thing, and it seems to me chefs that actually get out and do competitions, I think they hit a certain nerve. I think they have a certain build. They really want to. Obviously, there might be some ego there. Okay.
There might be a little. I have no idea, Jeff. What are you talking about?
Where's my bourbon?
Some ego.
There might be some ego.
Oh, you're gonna need some.
But I think it's fueled from, I want everyone to see what I can do, and I want everybody to be happy with what I put out there.
So the difference between what Chef is doing in this competition and what I heard was it's craveable food. It's their food that they want to do to showcase them, not what they're making in the restaurant per se, not what they're doing for somebody else. It's actually showcasing themselves. And that's where you really get some really phenomenal food, when you have that passion for something.
Yeah, because there's certain things that people really specialize. Like you asked me what I like cooking. I said breakfast on some stuff. It's certain things that the chefs have passions about, and I don't want to change that. We want to go ahead and them to come in with that passion, that love, and that focus of what they do, and do exactly that on the plate and give it to the judges so that it showcases who they are. A lot of times they get told and everything that you have to go ahead and, I mean, it's show food, it's competition food. There's, you know, there's all these rules and regulations, and it's a lot of the competitors were like, bucks. What?
Yeah.
We get to do what? And I said, yeah, I mean, you're going to get to do whatever you feel like.
Jeff, when are you going to go and get into a competition and represent, you know, Walk and Talk?
I've been in competitions.
No, but I don't mean that. I mean, like one of these big, like this, like when are you going to jump in?
He's got. He's got to apply, and then.
I can't apply and be in it and be in the podcast. Because that's not fair if I win.
you wouldn't be no.
I wouldn't be on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. No, but we'd have like you know Willie to be following you around with the camera. Like we make a whole thing out of it. It'd be pretty cool.
I would need a Comey that's not 35.
It's interesting. Some of the chefs, I mean, that was their main problem, trying to find a Comey and just really. So you're going to, when you're interviewing the chefs, talk about their Comeys because it's been very interesting. Some are students. They've pulled students from culinary schools and giving them a chance to work side by side with them is going to be phenomenal.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So the bad thing, Jeff, he's so old. that his homie would also be probably 40. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's he doesn't know anybody who's in there.
Oh, I do. Nah. Yeah. I mean, I've got some.
Don't try to glaze over that awesome.
I would probably pull Jackson, who works for Keith, and he's 21, and he doesn't want to go to school for culinary, but he's got a background in it, working with Keith. Yeah, obviously. So, yeah. That's who I would
pull. Yeah, some of these chefs that are competing have never gone to culinary school, so I mean, it's a very interesting mix. We've got people. We have a gentleman coming from Chile. So we have an outside the U.S. Competitor that was selected. We had four applicants from outside the U.S. And again, it says U.S. Culinary Open, but again, this is open. So anybody that's culinary that wants to go ahead to chef and believes they want to go ahead and put their skills forward, feel free to apply.
I see Team France that won the burger competition in the world. They're going to hear about this and be like, well, we're going there next year.
I want to be there.
Right. Well, Chile was supposed to go, and they were at the tryouts for the Bocuse Americas.
Yeah,
and they missed it by one slot. So they immediately wanted to apply for U.S. Culinary Open, and we were more than happy to take them.
Yeah, that's a tough loss right there.
Yeah, that's rough. Mm. Oof.
Yeah, but you got to think about it. What they're going to be up against these competitors? It's big. Else. You know, you're first of all, you're competing against some of the top of the top. Second of all, the judges.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
So, and they're not judging normally. So this is not, again, they're not going for the technical skills and everything. They're judging them on the art of what they're doing and who they are.
In the world of food, in the world of culinary, what you did with the judges is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, that was pretty unheard. I mean, these are not what you consider celebrity judges in a way. Where a lot of times they're going to pull in somebody that's, oh, it's the president of this company, or it's this person, or this well-known celebrity. And I was like, no, we're going to pull in some people that have busted their hump and have really proven the fact that they are the best of the best. And CMCs are pretty much the top of the creme on that stuff. So I have had a mentor of mine that was a CMC, and we decided to go ahead and talk to them, and they endorsed it. And I said, well, then how would you like to judge? And they were absolutely phenomenal about that. So we have Russell Scott.
I knew you were going to have him.
Yeah, he was a hands down.
Rich or no?
Yeah, Kevin Walker.
Okay.
And then we have Daryl Shuler. All right, so Daryl Shuler was his first African-American certified master chef. And then we have another individual female judge that's coming in the mix. All right, so she works at the French Laundry with Chef Keller.
Ooh.
So she's going to be in the mix, and she's also a corporate chef for Rationale, and she's getting her degree at CIA in Napa. They're doing a master's program, so she'll be the first one to get a master's degree from CIA.
And this is a secret.
Yeah, this is a little secret one, but yeah, she's on the. It's on the website, so she is listed as one of the official judges.
It's not really a secret.
Natasha Daniels, yeah.
Yeah.
She is Natasha phenomenal. Daniels. Yeah, she's phenomenal. I tell you what, man, she's
that booth Rationale had at the NRA.
Oh, it's incredible.
Was absolutely stunning. I think it was. I showed you the video. It was 30 seconds, and I only went through half of the booth, like half the square.
Yeah, the Rationale jumped in immediately with us. Their philosophy and how they support chefs and the industry was amazing. So we were happy to have them jump on. So their combi ovens will be in the kitchen suites.
Imagine that 5,000 square feet of kitchen space divided by 12.
Yeah. I mean, there are three kitchen suites. Each one's 17 feet by 11 feet, each kitchen suite.
It's bigger than what they're cooking in at their,
it's pretty large. it's a good large space area. We wanted to give them enough space to really kind of cook with everything that they need to and give them all the equipment they need. So there's plenty of electrical, plenty of water, plenty of everything for them. So.
Man,
bring it and throw down.
Yeah, this is so exciting. And then how long? I mean, I don't know if you can.
They get 3 hours to cook, if that's where you're going, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just three hours to cook.
Three courses.
Three courses, 3 hours. That's it.
And is it same plate up as the other rules from the other thing we were talking about?
Yeah, like it's 3 hours straight from start to finish, including plate up time. And it's only five plates of each. So it's not like they're cooking like the Bocuse is 24 and these things and platters and doing these things. No, it's just straight the plates. And that's similar to what they do at the restaurant.
Right.
So it's like, you know, hey, let's go and get you prepped and do the plates that you would do in your restaurant that you would serve to your guests and you're known for, that you've gotten awards for before. And we're going to allow you to just serve that to master chefs and I'll pray for you. So
is it stage where the food won't get cold? So like one competitor will start at a certain time.
Yeah, and it's staggered. It's 25 minutes apart from each other. Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's important.
The biggest question you're going to hear today on the show is,
are you going to get to eat the scraps?
You see? Do you see?
Yes, we actually moved it up for this reason. I mean, we did have four. So it was three tasting judges and one for the media. So it was originally four plates. We moved it to five because we had a figure that we had an idea that we probably will kind of slide one over to the walk and talk area.
Yeah, okay. Because
in that area.
So. I mean, it's part of my rider.
Yeah. You know I was mean? Like, you know, we got to feed the crew a little bit on the side. Yeah. So
do you have anybody emceeing for it?
Or do you not need currently, one? Not currently. We went ahead and looked at it and we talked to a couple of people, but we decided to go ahead and we're going to have a couple of moderators during the event. But
no, not me. I know one.
No, your voice was high.
I know because I didn't know if you would want to go that way, but I know Rock.
Paradiso. We looked at a couple and talked to a few of them, but I mean, because we're going to keep it a little on the quieter side down there, we're going to let the chefs do things. We got seating for about 185 people in front of the event, so you have plenty of room to kind of watch and see. Then the drones, yeah. Instead of cameras, I mean, again, we took our time doing this. Camera shots are kind of stationary a lot of the times, and it's difficult. So being who I am, and I work with the PGA Tour for events, we've got a gentleman that does drones. So we got mini drones that are gonna be flying over the top of the kitchen suites. So you're going to be able to see the aerial video views of what the chefs are doing in the kitchens, and those are going to be projected to large monitor screens all over the event.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so now if you're standing in front of, you know, 25 people deep or whatever, you can't see something, you just look over to the TV monitors and you'll be able to see everything that's going on in the kitchen suites.
I have a drone and, you know, I was looking at my roof after the hurricane and where I have a tree and where I have the, you know, where the
peak of the roof,
peak of the roof is, it's kind of like, you know, so if you've never flown a drone before, it has sensors. They're so,
oh, God,
you know, yeah, they're really, it's amazing stuff. This thing, and I threaded the needle. I'm so proud of myself.
Ooh.
Yeah. I threaded the needle in this
skill
thing.
Skill set.
Yeah. But the beep, 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 beep. It was off the charts. I had neighbors. I felt their presence because you can hear this thing. It's so loud. And I'm like, no, I'm piloting just fine.
I'm showing off my skills. It's okay.
Skill set. Yeah. You know, not everybody can do it. Just saying. How many years are you with NAFM? Do you have?
This is just the initial year that we put into it. So we're just going to see how it works out after the end of this year to see how it is. They were gracious enough to go ahead and sign another contract. They actually come back to Atlanta again in 2029.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing Orlando too or no?
Yeah, we're going to do one in Orlando, hopefully in 2027. I mean, you said NAFM throws a hell of a party. I mean, their kickoff party this year in Atlanta is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, and they hired and they went ahead and brought in One Republic as the entertainment.
Oh, no kidding.
So yeah, they do it very well. So it's something, again, we like being surrounded by a really good solid group that knows what they're doing. They've been around a while, so they put on a good show, a good operation. We got a lot of parties going on during that time, so it's gonna be a good couple of days.
Is there a certain aspect of this event that is your, you know, that's your darling, your baby? I mean, obviously, besides the trophy
and the ring.
You need to talk about that, too, because you haven't talked about that.
Yeah, we have a trophy. We looked around while we were building this event for about 4 years and couldn't find a company in the U.S. to do a good, decent trophy. So we got given the heads up on a company in London that does some amazing trophies, and they do professional golf trophies, and talked to the company, and they decided to go ahead and do a beautiful trophy for us, a nice silver trophy. So, and they do some amazing tournament trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of Ryder Cup, and Claret Jugs, and U.S. and British Open, things like that. So, yeah, so the trophy looks amazing. So, that was one of the parts to it. And then while we were doing the Tour Championship at Eastlake, where I'm the executive chef, we went ahead and talked to Roy McIlroy, and he was asking about the event. And Roy said, you should do a champions ring. And I said, well, what do you mean? And so he pulled his phone out and showed us a picture of the ring that they gave him at the RBC Canadian Open for winning back-to-back. And I looked at it. I'm like, my God, man. I mean, that's a Super Bowl ring style thing. All blinged out. I said, you know, I got it. We're a nonprofit. I can't afford it. He said, oh, let me connect you. So they reached out to the Barron Ring Company, Barron's, and then they told me and everything. They'd love to do it for me. So we worked out a deal, and we've got a blinged out U.S. Colony Open ring. So the champion who wins gets the trophy, gets prize money, and the championship ring, which is a one-off.
The ring is gangster.
Oh, it's insane.
Okay. I mean, this ring is serious.
I remember when you told me the story about what you were doing. I just thought it was just so cool how you each layer of everything you thought of.
Yeah, we just wanted to keep on trying to see everything as chefs and everything. We tinker with the dish and we think it's perfect. And we keep on going back and everything. Let's add a little of this, a little out of this. Let's take this out. Let's put this back in. And that's kind of what has happened with the event, is just really, like you said, tinkering with it. Just figuring out how can we go ahead and do it. So, I mean, so what we came up with, like I said, I think is a really good event, chef forward. We're bringing in students for the event also. So we're, the people that will be there assisting will be culinary students, local and from some of the schools. Again, it's just a celebration. That's what this is about. So the ring is part of the celebration, the trophy aspect to it. It's going to be fun.
I think there should be some media sort of ring, you know, for a podcast or something. I don't know, whatever. Goodness. All right. So what's the website? How do they find you?
So it's you're going to go to www.usculinaryopen.com. There is a link on the front page to go ahead and register to attend. There's also a discount code on there too. So you can go ahead and register on the NAFM website. There's a link there on our usculinaryopen.com website to go ahead and get your tickets and register on the information. It's got information on the competitors there too.
It's going to be cool. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there. We are going to be there. Next time we get together, you, sir, are going to cook.
Oh, I'm going to throw down.
Okay.
I'm bringing the breakfast edition. So
I'm saying,
like, it's going to be February when we get in
Atlanta. No, that's
what no, we're going to do more.
So listen, you know, next time we'll figure out a way to get you here.
Yeah.
You know, and
we'll get it knocked out.
Yeah. We'll do it. All right. Man, I'm glad to see you again, Mr. Jeffrey. John, as always, your photography is stunning.
Just incredible. Too much.
It's master of the lens. The lens. Willie. Ooh. You know, Willie Bedex, you know, check this guy out. Find him. Willie Bedex, he's amazing on the video. Nick, thanks for coming out.
Absolutely.
Hi to Polly.
Love it, guys. Thank you.
We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple: develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple: develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.